Morning, Rabbi David.
Morning, good Fach. How are you?
Baruch Hashem.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
What happened?
Signal's a bit weak. I just hope it will last out. We wanted to do Chazara. We're going to begin from Daf Chof Omid Aleph. It's the fourth line from the top. Omar Le Rav Papa La'Abaya. Rav Papa said to Abaya, "My Shno." What's the difference? Why is it that the Rishonim, the earlier generations, the Israchish Lehu Nisa, miracles happened to them? U'mayshno Anan, and why is it that with us, the Loi Misrachish Lo Nisa, Nisim do not seem to happen with us? Why are we less Zoicha to Nisim than the early generations? Imishum Tanoye. If it is because of our learning ability, as if to say that perhaps we're on a lower level of learning, it's not true. B'shnei de Rabbi Yehuda in the early years of Rabbi Yehuda, kulei tonei b'nezikin, hava, all of their learning was only in Seder Nezikin, va'anan komas nisin, and we were learning shisa sidri. And we're busy learning not just Nezikin, we're learning all six sections of Mishnayos. You clearly cannot tell us that we're on a lower level of learning. V'chiyavamoti Rabbi Yehuda be'uktzin, and further proof, when Rabbi Yehuda and the early generations got to Uktzin, specifically a very hard Mishnah, ha'isha she'kiveshes yerek b'kedeiron, the Mishnah that talks about the isha being kivesh yerek, v'omri lo zeisim she'kavshim tahirim. The details of which are not relevant to us, but they got to this particular Mishnah. Omar, he exclaimed, Havayos, the questions and discussions of Rav Shmuel, Kochazino Hocha. I see over here all the discussion of Rav and Shmuel, which is another way of saying that this, in my opinion, is a very, very hard Mishnah to understand, and I don't really understand it. Vanan, and yet we. We have 13 yeshivas or 13 approaches in these Mishnayos. So we are not struggling with these Mishnayos as the early generations did. So once again, we cannot be accused of being on a lower level of learning than they are. So therefore the question is still strong. Why are we not zeicha to miracles? And yet, the earlier generations were privileged to miracles. Why? V'ilu Rav Yehuda, in that early generation, ki ava sholif chad misani, when he removed one of his shoes, we're talking about it was a fast, it did not have rain. He took off one of his shoes in the fast and immediately, osi mitra, rain fell miraculously. Ba'anan, and yet when it comes to us, we're not the same. Why are we not the same? Because komatsarin on nafshin, we are metzaya ourselves, we inflict ourselves with pain, etc., on a fast. Umetzavach kotzavchinon, and we're busy yelling out to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Veles the mashkach bon, and nobody seems to be listening to us, so we are not zeicha to the miracles that the early generation seem to have been zeicha to. And why is that? Don't tell us it's because we're on a lower level of learning. We've just clearly demonstrated that we're not. We're on a higher level. So the Gemara answered this phenomenal teretz, which we discussed at length last time. Omar le kamoi havakom mosri nafshayu akadushas Hashem. The early generations were moisa nefesh. And if they were moisa nefesh for kiddush Hashem, it was in that zechus that indeed they were zeicha to miracles. But Anan, loy masrino nafshin akadushas Hashem. We are not moisa nefesh. We may well be on a higher level of learning, but we cannot be considered to be moisa nefesh. And therefore, we're not zeicha to miracles. So the Gemara gives an example. Kihadar of Adar ba'ahava. Chazye lahi kutis. He saw this woman, of Adar saw a woman whom he thought was a non-Jewish woman. She was wearing a red beged in the shuk, which he therefore deemed totally inappropriate for a Bas Yisrael. Sovar, he thought, the Bas Yisrael, he thought that she was a Jewish girl and therefore was totally inappropriately addressed. Kom kare mine, so he tore the beged from her. Igloi Milsa, but it turned out that no. Dekutisi, in fact, she was a non-Jewish woman and therefore he had no business intervening. But either way, the fact that he did intervene is clearly an example of the Mesiras Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem that the earlier generations were involved with. But because in this particular case he acted too hastily, Shaimuha ba'arba me'a zuzi, therefore they put him in Cheirem 400 zuz, because you acted too hastily, you ripped her begodim, and it turns out that she didn't need to have this done to her, because in fact she was not a Bas Yisrael. Omale, he said to her, to this woman, Mashmeich, what in fact is your name? Omrullah. So she said to him, Matun, which he immediately saw a remez to his own punishment. Omallah, Matun, Matun, Arba Mea Zuza Shavya. Remember, Matun is the Aramaic for Masayim, 200. So 200, 200, that's the 400 zuz that my penalty was. We saw in Rashi an alternative pshat, Matun, from the word Masunim, be deliberate in judgment. And therefore he clearly realized that he himself was not deliberate in judgment. And if he wasn't deliberate in judgment, that's why he had to therefore have this knas. So either way, without getting involved again, Barichos, we discussed this last time, but it's just so, so important, this Gemara to us, that the Gemara clearly tells us the formula for miracles is to be Mesa Nefesh. One on one is two, that's what the Gemara says. If you want to know why the earlier generations were Zeichet to miracles and we are not, because they were more Mesa Nefesh than us, specifically for Kiddush Hashem, and the example given, interestingly, is for Tznius. For Tznius. Says the Gemara, Rav Gidl have a rogil. Rav Gidl would regularly do the following. They have a ka'ozil, he would go, v'yosiv, and sit, ashare de tefila, the gates of the mikveh building. He would sit there by the entrance, omalahu, and he would tell all the women, he would pasken their shailas, and he would say to them, hochi tefilu, v'hochi tefilu, this is the way you should tevil, that's the way you should tevil. Omalahu, Omri Lei Rabbonon, so the Rabbonon said to him, what's going on? Loikom istofi mar mi yetzahara. Are you not afraid of the yetzahara? It's all very fine that you are involved in this great Avodas HaKodesh, but sitting outside the mikvah, you're not concerned for yetzahara. Omalo damien ba'apoi ki kaki chivri. They will appear to me like white geese. What does it mean they appear like white geese? I think we pointed this out last time. We have to be immensely careful with this Gemara, for the Rav Gidl, who was on such a high stature, he said, as it were, I do not see a woman in front of me. I see an appearance of a white geese. That's all I see in front of me. I don't, in fact, even see that there's an Isha over here. I see the Shaila, I see the Psak, and I see nothing beyond that. Therefore, I've got nothing to be afraid about. So as we said last time, we have to be very, very careful how we adapt this Gemara, because we're clearly not on that stature, and therefore we should not put ourselves in a mokum of nisayin. Similarly, Rabbi Yochanan have a rogil, dava ka'ozil v'yasiv ashare tvila. Rabbi Yochanan also regularly used to go and sit by the gates of the tvila, not in order to pasken their shailas, but for a different reason. What was that? He was very, very handsome, as is famous. Omar, and he said, ki salkon b'neis Yisrael. When these Bnei Yisrael come up, the Asyan mitvila, and they come out of the tvila, mistaklon bi, they will look at me. The Nahavelahu Zara the Shapiri Kavosi, and they will have beautiful children just like me. As we know from Chazal, with the story of Yaakov Avinu and the sheep, when the woman looks at something which is particularly handsome, then the chances are that's the way that the children will also look. By the way, this is brought down in the halacha. It's Mefurash Shasif and Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that when a woman comes out of the mikveh, she should not look at a behema tmeya. She should not look at a behema tmeya. And the post can bring down, this is the reason, because if she looks at a behema tmeya, that is not a good omen for any children that might be born as a result. So they asked him the same question, Amalei Rabbonon, lo yikom istofi mar me'ein abisha. Are you not afraid of Ayin Hara? Now, this was a different question. They did not ask him, are you scared of the Yetzer Hara? That wasn't the Shaila. The question is of Ayin Hara. If everybody is staring at your beauty and marveling at your beauty, then maybe that will, Chas V'Shalom, inflict an Ayin Hara on you. Amalehu, so he said to them, don't worry, Ano Mizara de Yosef, Kosino. I emanate from the Zera of Yosef. The Ayin Hara is not shoylet, has no control over me. Because it says in the Torah, Ben Poiras Yosef, Ben Poiras Ale Oyin. Ale Oyin. He is above, as it were, Ale Al. He is above the Ayin, means above the Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara does have a koyach, but not over the Zera of Yosef. That's how you want to read it. Oile, they ascend, they transcend, they rise above the koyach of the ayin, and therefore anybody who is the Zera Yosef need not be afraid of Ayin Hara. Rav Yosef Bar Chanina, Amar Mehach, he says it's actually derived, same principle, but from a different source. It says, V'yidgu l'roiv b'kerev ha'aretz. Ma dogim, yidgu from the word fish. Ma dogim, just like fish, shebayam ma'im mechasim aleim, the water covers them, ve'ein ayin hora she'letes bohem, and the ayin hora cannot in any way take control over them, avzara shel Yosef, ein ayin hora she'letes bohem. V'yiboyes ema, alternatively, some suggest, sh'ayin sheloi rotzusa lozun mima she'ena sheloi, the eye that did not want to satiate itself from that which wasn't his. What's that referring to? As Rashi explains, that he did not want to look at the wife of his master, meaning the Ishas Potiphar. That's why, Ein Ein Hora Sholetes Boy. Because, as it were, he was in control of his own eye. He did not look at what was forbidden to look at. Therefore, because he was in control of his own eye, therefore the Ein Hora cannot be in control of him. Okay, says the Gemara, this is the last sugya we learned. Very, very yesodis tika sugya. Noshim va'avodim v'ketanim. Women and slaves, it's talking about non-Jewish slaves, v'ketanim and minors, paturi mi kriya shema umin ha'tfilin. They are exempt from kriya shema and tefillin. V'chayovin, however, b'tfilo b'mezuzah l'brikas hamozen. So basically the rule across this Mishnah was, and that's why the Gemara discusses, isn't it obvious? Each one was a chidush. But basically the rule is it zman groma or it's not zman groma? So kriya shema and tfilin are both zman groma, so they're exempt. Tfilo, mezuzah, and b'rikas hamozen is not zman groma, and they are obligated. The only problem is, it's such a good explanation that it's poshut. And if it's poshut, it's not immediately clear what's the chiddush at all. Isn't it the most obvious thing in the world? We know this is always the principle. That which is zman groma, they are potter. So why is that a chiddush? That's what the Gemara asked time and time again. Says the Gemara, kriya shema pshita. Isn't it obvious? Obviously, women are potter because mitzvahs asei shazman groma hu v'chol. Mitzvahs asei shazman groma noshim paturos. Women are exempt, so it's obvious it doesn't really seem to be a chiddush of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, no. Mahu de tema, I would have thought, hoyel v'ispe malchus shomayim. I might have been excused for thinking that kriya shema may be an exception. Why would I have thought that? Because Kriya Shema has got the issue of Malchus Shemaim. So I would have thought that Malchus Shemaim is so important that nobody can possibly have an exemption. So I would have thought, therefore, even women might well be chayev in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Kamash Malon. That's why we need to be taught that actually, no, the normal rule of Zman Groma does apply. You might have thought that this would be an exception to the rule. It's not. The rule applies. It is zman groma, and therefore women are exempt.
Does every Mishnah have to teach us a chiddush? Another Mishnah is brought to teach us a halacha.
No, but it would.
Why does it have to be a chiddush? Why can't I just learn something?
Because I'll tell you why. Because we already have this principle taught to us in another Mishnah.
Okay.
The Mishnah can't be repetitious. We have a Mefurash Mishnah in Daf Chof Tes in Kiddushin that lays down a general principle. All time governed mitzvahs, women are potter. So I don't need now different Mishnayas dotted around through Shas. There's no Mishnah, for example, that says women are exempt from Sukkah, women are exempt from Lulav, and women are exempt from Shefa. Of course, it's Mangrama. So there must be something specific over here to be teaching me that even though it's Mangrama, but for some reason I might have thought that they are Chayav nonetheless. Why would I have thought that? Because Malchus Shemaim, oh, that's a tremendous chiddush. Even though Kriya Shema is Malchus Shemaim, and it's such a critical mitzvah that I would have thought that everybody has to be obligated it, even women, Kamash Malon, no. Normal rules apply. It is Zman Grama, they are exempt. That was case number one out of five. Now, case number two, once again, Uminat Tfilin. So once again, we ask the same question, Pshita. And here the Gemara doesn't even enunciate the question, just says Pshita. Tfilin is obviously Zman Grama. We only put Tfilin on during the day. We only put it on a weekday. That surely is a Zman Grama. So what's the Chiddush? Says the Gemara, no, Ma'u de Tema. I would have thought, Hoyel the Iskish le Mezuzah. There is a comparison between Tfilin and Mezuzah. They're all written in the same parasha, as we said this morning in Kriya Shema. And we know Mezuzah, women are Chayev. That is the end of the Mishnah, so I would have been excused for thinking that again, maybe Tfilin is an exception to the Zman Groma rule. And I would have thought that just like Mezuzah, they are Chayev, so too Tfilin. Kamash Malon, that even notwithstanding the Hekesh, nonetheless, they are still exempt. That is now two out of five. Now we move on to the cases that women are Chayev. Case number three, V'chayovin b'tfilah. The rachamin hu. Tfilah is all about rachamin. And therefore what? Ma'u de tema, I would have thought the hoil v'ksiboy erev avoykev etzoroyim commits zaseh shazman groma domi kamash malon. I would have thought that because it says that the time for davening is specifically morning, evening, and night, so therefore it does sound like that it's a mitzvah zaseh shazman groma. Kamash malon, no. Women are nonetheless chayav. If you remember, we explained last time, one could really understand the Gemara in two ways. Either the Gemara means to say, yes, essentially it's Zman Groma, but nonetheless women are chayav. Why? Because everybody is in need of rachamim. Or what the Gemara means to say is, I would have thought it's Zman Groma, but actually it's not Zman Groma. Because by virtue of the fact that the essence of tefillah is rachami, rachami, by definition, is something which we need on a constant basis. Either way, women are chayev, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. That was case number three. Here comes case number four, uba mezuzah. So again, the Gemara asks, pshita, isn't it obvious? It's a mitzvah saseh she'ein hazman groma. There is no particular time where you are chayev mezuzah. You are always chayev in mezuzah. So it's not Zman Groma, isn't it obvious that women are chayev? Says the Gemara, no, it's not so obvious. Ma'u de tema, I would have thought, hoyel v'iskish l'talmud Torah. There is a hekesh, Rashi explained to us, there is a hekesh between Talmud Torah and mezuzah. So therefore, I would have thought that if Talmud Torah is an exemption for women, as indeed it is, so therefore, by virtue of the hekesh, I would have thought that mezuzah also would also be an exemption for women. Kamash malam, that no, even though there is a hekesh, but nonetheless, they are still chayev in mezuzah. Finally, the fifth case is Birkas Hamazon. And once again, for the fifth time, the Gemara asks, Pshita, Birkas Hamazon is not Zman Groma, and therefore, isn't it obvious that women are chayev? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, no, Ma'u the Tema Hoyel B'Ksiv, I would have thought it was in yesterday's parasha, B'Teis Hashem Lechem Bo'erev, Bosor Lechel V'Lechem L'Boiker L'Soiva. So it does talk about specific times that we eat, therefore I would have thought that it is K'mitzas HaSeish HaZman Groma Domi, It might be comparable to Zman Groma. No, Kamashmalon, it isn't. And therefore, women are chayef. And therefore, the rule is not changing whatsoever. If it is Zman Groma, like Kriya Shema and Tfilin, women are potter. If it is not Zman Groma, like Tfilo and Mezuzah and Birkas Hamazon, women are chayef. Therefore, the Gemara was not coming to teach us a new pshat in the Mishnah. We know the pshat. Rather, the Gemara is just teaching us what was the chidush in every case, because I would have been excused for thinking it seems to be the most obvious thing in the world. Zman Groma exemption, non-Zman Groma obligation. And that's why the Gemara had to explain to me that actually, no, every individual case is actually a chidush in its own right. Says the Gemara, very, very important Gemara, we saw this. Omar of Adaba Ahavo, Noshim Chayobois beKiddush Hayoim Dvar Teira. Remember, we said don't make a mistake. Kiddush Hayoim does not mean Kiddush daytime, it means the nighttime. Why we call it Kiddush Hayoim means you're sanctifying the day. When? At nighttime. Women are Chayev beKiddush Dvar Teira Min HaTeira. Now, why should that be? Surely the mitzvah of Kiddush is a classic Zman Groma, once a week at a very specific time, Friday night. So why are women obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Famous Hekesh. Why are they obligated in mitzvah seisha Zman Groma v'chol mitzvah seisha Zman Groma noshim peturois? So Omar Abaya Midrabbanon. So Abaya wanted to initially suggest, you're right, therefore, they're only actually obligated Midrabbanon. They're actually not obligated Min HaTorah. They're not obligated Min HaTorah. That's what Abaya said. Rava said, I'm sorry, that can't be. Omar Le Rava, firstly, V'hod Dvar Torah Ka Omar. It clearly says they're obligated Min HaTorah. It doesn't say they're obligated Midrabbanon. Question number one. Void, question number two, if you're going to tell me that yes, they are exempt min ha-Torah, but they're only chayev midrabbanon, does that mean that Chazal obligated women to fulfill mitzvah aseh shazman groma? We've never heard of such a thing. What, women have to do shofar midrabbanon? They have to do lulav? Are we going to say, says the Gemara, that kol mitzvah aseh nechayevu rabbanon? That Chazal against mechayev, that's not true. So therefore, why on earth, the question comes back, why on earth are women chayev b'kiddush? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you. El omar rava, omar kro zochor v'shomer. We have a hekesh, remember there's a mitzvah of Shabbos, zochor is yom ha-Shabbos l'kadsho, which by the way, you'll be pleased to know, is this week's parasha, Parashas Yisrael. And there's also shomer, there's zochor and shomer. Zochor is the positive, shomer is the negative. So we have the hekesh. The two must be compared, and we reach the following conclusion. Kol sheyeshnoi b'shmira, yeshnoi b'zechira. Whoever is obligated in one is automatically obligated in the other as well. If you include it in shmira, you are included in zechira. V'hani noshi, these women hoil v'isnuhu b'shmira, therefore isnuhu b'zechira. They are definitely included in shmira. Why? Because remember, Shmira is Shomer. Shomer always means a negative commandment. It's like a loisase. Women are only obligated from time-governed mitzvahs, but not from time-governed averos. Therefore, they're clearly incorporated in the Shomer. If the Torah says, do not do a malacha on Shabbos, even though that's time-governed, but obviously it refers to women as well, because it's not a positive mitzvah, it's a negative mitzvah. Once they are included in the Shomer, then by virtue of the Hekesh, they are automatically included also in the Zochor. So therefore, if you look at Kiddush on its own right, then you're right. The mitzvah of Kiddush is a mitzvah seish azman groma, they should in theory be exempt. But if you look at it with regards to Shomer, we put the two together. If you are included in Shomer, you are included in Zochor. Women are clearly included in Shomer, and therefore they are included in Zocher as well. I think we discussed this barichos last time. This is the famous halacha, that women are chayv in Kiddush Min HaTorah. They are as chayv as men. And if you remember, we discussed to an extent, on some occasion, they may be mechuyev even more than men. Because some maintain that once you've davened Maariv on Friday night, you've already been yetzio mitzvah of kiddush min ha-Torah. It means by the time you come home, you have in fact been mekayim your mitzvah of kiddush, but if your wife has not davened, then she has not been yetzio mitzvah of kiddush. So actually, she's got a higher degree of kiddush than you have. Says the Gemara in conclusion. That was with regard to kiddush. Now we discuss Birkas HaMazon. Omele Ravina Rava Noshim Birkas HaMazon Do'i Raisa Oyder Abonon. Are women chayiv in Birkas HaMazon Min HaTorah or Midr Abonon? Meaning either way they are chayiv. The Mishnah clearly tells us that. The Shaila is, are they chayiv Min HaTorah or Midr Abonon? Now one second, says the Gemara immediately, L'may Nafkemina, who cares? What would the bit difference be? Either way, you clearly agree that women are chayiv in Birkas HaMazon. So why would it make a difference whether they're chayiv min ha-Torah or chayiv min derabbanan? Says the Gemara, no, the difference is obvious. La'afuke rabim yidei chayvason. Can they be moitzi the rabim? What does that mean, moitzi the rabim? Can they be moitzi men? Why is that dependent on our shayla? Because I am Rabbi Shlomo Dai Raisa. If you're going to tell me that women are chayiv in benching min ha-Torah, then osi do'i raisa, then the do'i raisa comes along, umapik do'i raisa, and can you might see another do'i raisa? Ela yomer d'rabbonon, if you're going to tell me that women are only mechuyev b'd'rabbonon, then essentially hava she'enoi mechuyev b'davon. Then essentially they have to be categorized as somebody who is actually not mechuyev b'davon. They do not, technically speaking, have the mitzvah, at least min ha-Torah, of benching. And if that would be the case, we have the principle, the kol she'ena mechuyev b'davar, anybody who's not obligated in the midst of themselves, einoy moitzias harabim yidei chayvasam. Therefore, don't tell me that this is just a theoretical question. It's a very practical question. I need to know whether women are chayev in benching min ha-Torah or min derabbanan. Why? Because if they are chayev min ha-Torah, they can be moitzi other men. And if they are not chayav min ha-Torah, then they cannot be moitzi other men, because a derabbanan cannot be moitzi a deraisa. So that's our shayla. The Gemara says, fine, let's try and bring a proof. So we have a proof. Toshma, we have a braisa in Sukkah, and it talks about benching. And it says, Be'emus Omru, Chazal said that ben mevorech la'oviv, a child, which is obviously very difficult, but Gemara will explain in a moment. A child can bench on behalf of his father. The eved mevorech l'raboy, and a slave can bench on behalf of his master. The isha mevoreches l'baalo, and so too, and this is what's relevant to us, it says a wife can bench on behalf of her husband. Avol, however, in parenthesis, omru chachomim, Chachamim were not very happy about this, and they said, "Tovay me'eira la'adam she'ishto yubonam b'vayrechin loy." Cursed is the one who has to rely on his wife or children to bench for him. It means clearly he doesn't know how to bench himself. But either way, you see that essentially, halachically, you can have one's wife being moitzi a husband. Well, there it is, black and white. Says the Gemara, isn't that a proof? If you're going to tell me that do'i raisa, if you're going to tell me that women are obligated to bench min ha-Torah, osi do'i raisa, or mapik do'i raisa, then I understand that her chiv of do'i raisa comes along and she can be moitzi her husband's chiv, which is also do'i raisa. Elo I omret d'rabbanon, if you are telling me that she is only mechuyev d'rabbanon, so how can she moitzi her husband? Osi derabonon umapik do'i raisa? Question mark. Can her chiv of derabonon possibly come along? We might see her husband's chiv of deraisa. That cannot be. We know that's a cast iron rule, with no exceptions, that a derabonon cannot be moitzia deraisa. So how on earth does it say in this braisa that the wife can be moitzia the husband? So that seems to be an absolutely clear proof that what? That women are obligated to bench min ha-Torah. However, the Gemara now refutes that proof. How do we refute that proof? Because what about the case of the child? Says the Gemara, Ulatameich, but according to your reasoning, cotton bar chiyuva, who question mark? Is a cotton a bar chiyuva? Certainly not. So how on earth do you understand that the child can be moitzi the father? Bishlam, with the wife being moitzi the husband, say this, you can tell me that maybe you're right, that seems to be proof that the wife is a bar chiyuva. But don't tell me that that's the pshat with regard to the cotton. Because a cotton, according to all opinions, under all circumstances, is definitely not a bar chiyuva. So how on earth can the child be moitzi his father? Elos, you're going to have to tell me that we're talking about hachva mayaskino kagoyin she'ochal shiurei derabbanan. Ah, you mean that the father only ever ate a shiur that would obligate him merely midrabbanan. Remember we discussed last time, in order to be chayav in benching min ha-toyrah, one has to eat kedei sevia, enough to be satiated on midrabbanan, either a beitza or a kazayis. Now, if the father only ate a kebeitza or a kazayis, then the father, in fact, is no different to his child. They are both now chayev in berkas hamazon midrabbanan. So yes, if the father ate kedeis sevia, then there's no way in a million years the child can wait to him. But if the father ate how much? Just a kazayis or a kibbutz, then he himself is only mukhim in the rabbanon, and that's how the child can be moitzi him. Ah, then the osi drabbanon, umapik drabbanon. So for the child who's a drabbanon, can be moitzi his father, who under this circumstance is also a drabbanon. But if that's the case, then we've lost our whole proof with regard to Isha. Because yes, it says that a wife can be moitzi a husband. But maybe we're talking about where the husband is himself only a chiv derabbanon. How so? If he merely ate a kazayis or a kebetza. So therefore you cannot bring me a proof from over here that a wife, a woman, is mukhiv in benching min ha-toyrah, because I can quite happily tell you that it's not true. Maybe women are only mukhiv in benching mid derabbanon. If that's the case, you're wondering, how can she be moitzi her husband? The answer is because we're talking about the husband is also only mukhiyev midrabbanan because he ate less than kedei sevia, which means you no longer have a proof. And as we mentioned last time, the Rishonim say it seems to be that as far as this sugya is concerned, it is inconclusive. We do not have a clear proof one way or another whether a woman mukhiyev min ha-toyrah midrabbanan. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Dorash Ravira, Zimnin Omale Mishmeid Rav Ami, Vizimnin Omale Mishmeid Rav Asi. Rav Avira used to say this drasha on some occasions in the name of Rav Ami, some occasions in the name of Rav Asi. Omru Malache Hashores Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim complained. And they said, what's going on? Ribbono Shel Olam, Kosu B'Torah Secho. It is written in your Torah, Asher Lo Yisaponim V'Lo Yichad Shoichad. It says you're not supposed to show favor or take bribes. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you yourself do that. But you yourself show favor to Klal Yisrael. So how can you write in your Torah, you must not show favor, but you yourself do show favor to Klal Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to the Malachim, so what do you want? Rhetorical question. What do you expect? That I shouldn't show them favor? After all, shekosavti lehem b'teira, I wrote in my Torah v'ochalta v'savarta u'beirachta. I wrote in my Torah that you're only mukhiyev to bench u'beirachta as Hashem alekecha, only if they eat so much that they are satisfied, only for savarta. And yet they go that extra mile. They are machmir on themselves to bench, even if they've eaten less than the required amount. And therefore, if they go that extra mile, I too also go that extra mile, and that's why I show them favor. Okay, so that was the chazara of the last daf. Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, Emes Hashem, tomorrow, all being well, we're going to begin the next Mishnah and the Gemara, and there's also some very important tesis in. Okay, have a wonderful day, everyone. Okay, yeah.